Now to Amna Nawaz, who has been on the National Mall all this day from early morning into tonight. So, Amna, you started out this day looking at the security picture there on the mall at a place that where normally there would be crowds. But as you reported early in the day, that's not what happened.
Not at all, Judy. That's right. You and I both know anyone who's covered inaugurations in the past knows this mall is typically chock-a-block full of hundreds of thousands of people who gather here specifically because of the view you get of that west front of the Capitol steps there to watch the swearing-in. That swearing-in is usually met with thunderous applause and cheers. Today, it was met with a deafening silence because, of course, the mall, like much of Washington, D.C., is closed down, shuttered among health concerns in the pandemic and security concerns after that Capitol attack just 2 weeks ago. We are inside what's known as the Red Zone. It's a robust and heavily fortified security perimeter that was set up a few days ago. It's maintained by miles and miles of metal fencing, by several layers of security barriers, and also, as John Yang reported earlier, the presence of 25,000 National Guard troops who have descended from every corner of the country to help secure the inaugural ceremonies today. One group from Texas told us, in fact, they've been working very long hours, sleeping only a few hours every night. And for many of them, it was their first trip to Washington, D.C. ever, so quite a first trip for them. But they were here, of course, to try to prevent some of those same forces that we saw storm the Capitol steps 2 weeks ago from acting again, those white supremacist and conspiracy and anti-government forces who did violently storm the Capitol. Sources tell us, intelligence and national security sources tell us, the online chatter suggests that many of those groups decided against taking any kind of action today, largely because of the security presence, and many of them felt it wasn't worth the risk. But those sources say those same groups are holding their fire potentially for another day. That threat has not gone away. Judy, one other thing I'll mention, sources tell us they were watching today online followers of this QAnon conspiracy theory, a pro-Trump group that we've been reporting on several times over. Many people in this group told us, even on days I spoke to them outside the Capitol attack, that they believe President Trump had some secret plan, some kind of big action he was going to take today on his final day in office that would allow him to stay in power. That, of course, did not happen. And online, many of them are expressing anger and disbelief. More worryingly, some of them are spinning new conspiracy theories about why that didn't happen and what could happen next. Judy, this is evidence of the dangerous disinformation campaigns that we saw emanating from the White House over the last 4 years. And these are just some of the challenges that the Biden administration will inherit as they're coming into office. But at least today, security officials say they are grateful the transfer of power was peaceful. Judy?
Listening to you, Amna, and just shaking our head at what you're saying. But very quickly, I hear you saying, even though the threat was minimal today, we didn't see its presence, authorities are very much on guard in the days and weeks to come.
Absolutely, Judy. They stressed to us that those threat, the same forces that stormed the Capitol 2 weeks ago, they are robust, they persist, and they will be planning future attacks as well. Just because they didn't act today does not mean they won't act in the future. This will be an enormous problem. We heard President Biden address in his inaugural address as well that these are some of the forces they will have to contend with in the years ahead. Judy?
Amna Nawaz, it's enough to keep us all on edge. Thank you very much. Meantime, Nick Schifrin has been reporting on the enormous security operation in the Capitol across this city and across the country, and he joins us now from the streets of Washington. So, Nick, tell us what you're following today.
Yeah, Judy, we've talked so much about those 25,000 National Guard troops and the closures, not only where Amna is, about a mile from me or so on the mall, but the bridges coming in and out of D.C. and the streets. You can see behind me, still National Guard and still a checkpoint. They are still checking IDs at this late hour. And it also meant that almost no protesters were able or allowed to get into D.C. today. In fact, the Park Police only approved a single park permit for a single protest group. And that was supposed to take place in something called a free speech zone. I believe we've got some video of that free speech zone. It's basically a pen that was in downtown D.C. And when we went, it was absolutely empty. Protesters clearly just couldn't get there or didn't want to get there. When I talk to military officials, they reiterate what Amna just said, that the unprecedented show of force by the military, the unprecedented closures, was a deterrence factor, keeping away those protesters that they did believe could have come not only today, but over the weekend and launched armed protests. At least that's what they were worried about. There were some questions by some lawyers about the extent of the free speech restrictions. But bottom line, the military officials I talked to and the national security officials and the transition officials say that today was about guaranteeing that peaceful transfer of power. And it works not only here, but also across the country. We've collected some video and photos from all 50 state capitals. And basically what we saw across the country, whether Madison, Wisconsin, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Lansing, Michigan, Olympia, Washington, St. Paul, Atlanta, was not only very few protesters, but a large show of force outside those capitals, following really a national campaign by the FBI to try and arrest all those insurrectionists from January 6th. Finally, Judy, you know, the military reiterated again and again leading up to today that there would be no stop in continuity. There would be no loss of the chain of command. But a few hours ago, the Biden transition team had to send out an email about the acting secretaries. Biden starts his presidency without any national security officials already in place. And it occurred to me that what Senator Blunt said, the Republican chairman of the inaugural committee, holds true. He said that, look, in this time of transition, when it comes to national security, in some ways, America is at its most vulnerable. But also, America is at its most powerful, proving the perseverance of democracy on a day like today.
No question. And that echoes what we did hear from President Biden in his inaugural remarks, that democracy endures, perseveres. Thank you very much, Nick Schifrin, for all your work all this day. Thank you.